Jake, I'll turn that on in just a moment for you. How's that? Taking a break from Genesis. So we'll move to the middle of the Bible, to the Psalms. For those of you who follow along, Psalm 112. Let me just pray before I speak anymore. Lord God, we bow before you, mindful that you are the Lord God. We are about to look into your word. You are the author, and your spirit is our teacher. So we pray that you would give us ears to hear and understand what you would desire to say to us. Lord God, thank you for the privilege of having your word in our own language. I would ask, please speak through me that I might not be any distraction or hindrance to what you want to say this day. I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Most of the things that we do in life have a benefit or a consequence. And we often like or enjoy the benefits more than the consequences, because often the consequences are negative and they force us to face things that we may not want to face. And yet I've learned through facing negative consequences, they are often the best teacher, because they cause me to reevaluate my life, to reevaluate my behavior or whatever the case may be. And then as I begin to make the adjustments, I gain because I have learned through the negative consequence. In Psalm 111, we have a psalm that is called a wisdom psalm, and it joins Psalm number 1, 37, 49, 73, 127, 128, and Psalm 34, verses 11 to 14, in making themes from the wisdom literature of the scriptures on the topic of prayer and praise and instruction in worship. So 111 and 112 are companion psalms, and they're both of the similar kind. And so they form a unit, and yet they are separate. So as we look at Psalm 111, we find that it addresses the great works of the Lord God, the works that he has done for his people, like calling them out from the world, caring for them, protecting them, providing for them. And then it ends with praise in verse 10 of 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. Praise to God. And then Psalm 112 begins, praise the Lord. Now, it's not unusual to have praise the Lord in the Psalms, but it is a common thing. And in this case, it is very much connected. The psalmist speaks of the blessings and benefits of fearing God in Psalm 112. That is what I want us to look at today. As I walk around and listen to different people and in various places and so on, I don't sense there's much fear of God. Even some people in the church, some churches, address God to me in such an informal manner that I'm not sure that there's much fear of God in it. One phrase that's used that it really disturbs me within, and that is the man upstairs referring to God. He is far greater than that. He is not a man. He is the living God, the creator of the universe and all things. He is holy and just and righteous altogether. Psalm 112 focuses on the moral character. This is from Wayne Grudem. Psalm 112 focuses on the main character of the faithful and on the benefits such people bring to themselves and to others. The implications is that the person who fears the Lord and attends to his commandments has God's own moral traits reflected in his character. The question I have had to ask myself this last couple of days is, are God's moral traits reflected in me? I'm not asking for your answer. That was my question to me. But now it's your question to you. Do people see the moral qualities of Almighty God in you? Do people see the character of Christ lived out in you and in me? Are we growing spiritually? Are we reflecting that image of Christ, which is God's plan for us? Can we see the character of the Lord Jesus in us? Can others see that character in us? That's God's plan for us. Romans 8 says that we are to be conformed to the image of his Son. We're to reflect his character. So Psalm 112, verse 1, picks up the subject of the fear of the Lord. And it unfolds the qualities in a person, excuse me, who fears the Lord. Before we get into what it says, let me just run through a number of things that came to my mind as I was working through and through some of the books that I was reading on the fear of God. What is it anyway? It is to hold the Lord in holy reverence and respect. It is to hold him in awe as we observe his attributes and character, like his power, his authority, his mercy, his love, his grace, his patience, his faithfulness, his omnipresence, his omnipotence or all-powerful, his omniscience, all-knowing. He is immutable. He is unchanging. It is to have a healthy fear of his discipline and judgment. To have a strong desire to please him because we reverently love him. I've often struggled with telling the Lord I love him, partly because I know of times when I haven't lived like I love him. He knows my heart. He knows my life. He knows all about me. To fear the Lord is to find it difficult and saddening to me or to us when we displease him. The fear of the Lord addresses our attitude towards God and towards others. The fear of the Lord should create a desire within us to serve Him. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." In Proverbs 2, and I summarize a little bit of that, and verse 5, and it says, Solomon says, "The fear of the Lord is one of the values of wisdom through which we find the knowledge of God." In Psalm 112, the psalmist addresses some benefits of the fear of the Lord, and I've divided it into three different areas of benefit. First of all, the fear of the Lord will benefit you and I. The fear of the Lord will benefit our family. And the fear of the Lord will benefit our community. So as we walk through this, may God use it to bless your life, to encourage you, maybe to challenge and rebuke you. I don't know. It begins with a simple phrase, praise the Lord. It's difficult to praise the Lord if we don't know Him. And by know Him, I mean not just know about Him, but to receive Him into our heart and our life as our Lord and Savior. To know Him through Jesus Christ, who died to pay for our sin debt and to set us free. And when we know Him in that manner, and we are made a new creation in Christ Jesus, and we are forgiven of our sin, then we begin to know Him. And to know Him grows as we live and walk with Him. My wife and I have talked on a number of occasions, and I've said, "I remember the day that I said I love you and asked you to marry me." And for those of you who don't know, I lifted her up and set her on a tree stump, and it was about this high, and you know how tall she is, so she couldn't get down until she answered me. What was she going to say? And we were out in some woods, so she said yes, so it was okay. I took her down. But you know, that day I did love her, but not like I do now. I've come to know her. We've walked through some hard times. We've suffered through some difficulties. We've been rejected. We've been accepted. We've been criticized. We've gone through a lot of things. And I've learned that the more intimate our relationship, the more that we get to know each other as we walk through the hard times, the times of pain or loss or attack or sorrow or grief, as we walk together through these things, we begin to know each other in a way that we didn't know at that time. And my understanding then has grown what love really is all about. And so when I talk about the fear of God, I'm learning that the longer I walk with God and the more difficult things we walk together through, I have come to appreciate what the fear of God is beginning to look like. I'm still learning, but it's an important thing to know. When we go through those difficult times, it's the God that I worship, that holds me and lifts me up and encourages me and is everything that I need. And so my fear of Him and my love of Him begins to grow deeper in an intimate, loving relationship. I begin to comprehend the depth of His love and the mercy and grace that He shows. And we can begin to offer a deeper understanding of Him. It says, "Praise the Lord, blessed is the man, the woman, the person. Do you know what blessed means? It means happy. It means to be envied. It means to be fortunate, to be privileged. Have you ever walked down the street just rejoicing that I, because I belong to the Lord, I'm blessed, I'm happy, I am envied. Who envies you? We have so much in Christ Jesus. Do we sense the privilege and blessing that we have because we are in Christ? Do we realize the people of God are to be envied? Do we realize the blessings we have in Him because we belong to God? Does it show in our joy-filled life? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man, the woman, the person who fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, we just read. Shouldn't that wisdom continually teach us how to live godly in this world? How to become more like Christ Jesus? How to be growing in spiritual maturity and reflecting the character of Christ? Shouldn't we have a heart and a mind to enjoy God's blessing? To humbly bow and surrender to Him as our Lord? It goes on and says, this person who fears the Lord delights greatly in His commandments. I'm coming to learn more and more. People don't like rules. Drive on Highway 2. Isn't that interesting? People don't like authority over them. People like to have authority. They do not like to be under authority. But those who fear the Lord, those who delight in Him, will in fact have no problem with His authority. They desire His direction. They desire His word and the instruction in it. In fact, they probably will be people who have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. They want to know what He says, how we can live. I saw a quote. I can't remember where I found it, so my apology to the author. If you're listening online. It simply said this about a person who fears the Lord. Holiness is his happiness. Devotion is his delight. Truth is his treasure. Does that sound like you and me? Is that where our heart is? Where our delight is? The person who fears the Lord, it says in verse 4, light dawns in the darkness for the upright. Light. Light gives the ability to see. Light enables us to see the good, the bad, the obstacles. As some of you already know, I had a great fear of darkness growing up. When I went into my bedroom, and it wasn't that big, but it seemed like a long ways from the light switch to the bed. I didn't have a light beside my bed. So when I switched off the light, I would run and jump into bed so nothing underneath the bed in the dark could get hold of me. And I know people chuckle about it, but when it's a fear and it controls you, it's hard to get away from it. But once someone would come and turn the light on, I was totally at ease because I could see. It's amazing what causes fear. And yet to know the living God, who light and dark are the same to Him, and He is with you, We don't have to fear. In fact, it says that light dawns for the follower of Christ, for the follower of God, for those who fear the Lord. And he gives us perception. It gives us understanding and clarity. It dispels the darkness. Psalm 119, 105 says, "The word, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We have no need to stumble because it's clear. Light dawns in the darkness of the upright. The true child of God lives and walks rightly. They enjoy the light of God revealing the path of righteousness. They know how to walk. They know where God wants them to be. The light of God's truth gives clarity for the living to those who fear the Lord. And the one who fears the Lord walks uprightly, walks in obedience to the path God reveals. They follow God and live in obedience to Him. When I was in Bible college, it was a long time ago, and they had rules. And at 10 o'clock at night, you were to be in your room, in your bed, and lights out and silent. I came from a home that they used to say is like heaven. There's no night there, because often the lights are on till midnight or whatever. And so I was not used to that time zone. So a couple of us or three of us had some things we needed to talk about. And in the front of the men's dorm was this empty room that we could be in. And there were some chairs to sit on and so on. So we were in there in the dark talking quietly. And the night watchman came along and tapped on the door, and nobody said a word. And he opened the door and he said, "Men love darkness rather than light." And he closed the door and left. I was complimented because he said men, but I was not complimented by the comment he made, and we realized we were breaking a rule. Now, he didn't turn us in, so we didn't get demerits, but in the darkness, you can hide. And often, people like the darkness to hide so they're not exposed. But the person who fears the Lord desires the light, wants to know how to live for God. And regardless of how dark the stress and trials of life around us, He gives us light, perception. Folks, there are people today, and maybe you watching online, are walking in darkness. The darkness and fear of COVID. The darkness of the misunderstandings or not of all kinds of things. And it's causing you to live in fear and turmoil. God can give you light to know how to walk. He can remove the fear. He can deliver us from that kind of fear. He provides hope and help for us today, tomorrow, and for eternity. Even the end after death is clear to God. And He shows us. Why not trust Him? The person who fears the Lord not only has the light to know how to walk and to live, but He is gracious. God enables those who fear Him to have a spirit of grace, an attitude of grace toward others, toward the circumstances and people that are struggling through it. The fruit of the Spirit becomes evident in their life, and God begins to move and make that person a blessing to others. That person who fears the Lord is merciful, it says in verse 4, full of compassion, and able to keep loving God and other people, even when they're in the midst of their pain and their struggle, they still can show mercy to other people. And they are righteous, it says. They are true and just in their dealings with others. God's word governs all of his behavior and transactions. This is his opportunity to demonstrate the life of Jesus to those that he works with and buys and sells with. That was one of the qualities that my father had in business. Honesty was essential. And if there was an error made, it was to the good of the customer, never to himself. We had bulk meats and we would slice off things and wrap it and sell it. Now you can't do that kind of thing, at least in the kind of store we had. And most people got what they paid for. Others would have an extra slice thrown on just to make sure that if they weighed it on a scale that was maybe different, they would have good measure. That was just something that he would do. But his dealings were always honest. And as I worked with him and watched him and listened to him, I realized this. And I knew he feared the Lord. There was no question. That was his life. The one who fears the Lord deals generously and lends, willing to share God's material blessings with others, not selfish or stingy, but kind and generous and considerate. That person also conducts his affairs with justice. He does business with wisdom and discretion. He is a careful manager of everything that God entrusts to him. We are stewards of his blessings. We are to manage them well for his glory. Verse 6, the righteous will never be moved. The person who fears the Lord is called a righteous person, and that person is secure in the Lord. Doesn't matter the battle or the struggle of life, they do not rob his confidence in God. He stands firm. He is secure. He can endure and persist when all else seems to fail, when others suggest he is otherwise. And it says he will be remembered forever. The Lord remembers his covenant forever, his covenant with his people. Those who belong to God are secure in him. In the Gospel of John, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The one who fears God, who is born again, who is righteous, they are safe in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, he is not afraid of bad news. Sometimes we would really appreciate if it said, he will not have bad news. But he doesn't say that. He says, he is not afraid of bad news. And Jesus said, bad news will come. You will be persecuted. You will be rejected. You will face hardship. But we are secure in the Lord. We are safe in him. His heart is firm, the one who fears the Lord. He trusts in the Lord. His confidence rests there. Heart often refers to our love for, our devotion to, our loyalty to, our commitment to. It's the very core of our inner being in Scripture. It's the very thing that we can fix to or fasten to the immutable God. We are committed to him. The person who fears the Lord, he has a quiet patience to live life. We have to have some patience to survive, it seems like. And the unchanging God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can be trusted. He awaits the salvation of the Lord, this person, when all will be made right. That will be a great day. Verse 8, his heart is steady. His love and devotion are fixed on the Lord. It's interesting, David knew a lot about on the run. He knew a lot about safety and security. And he writes in the Psalms about the Lord who is our rock. Not a pebble, but a large enough rock to be protected in. He is our refuge. He is our shelter. In another place it talks about one to whom we can run in time of trouble and be safe. The person who fears the Lord is steady of heart. He's not afraid. He will not be afraid. He is not moved to fear of the unknown. His confidence and his courage is in the all-powerful God. The present God. Wherever we are, whatever we do, he is there. That should encourage us. He is aware of every struggle we face. Even if there's nobody else around us, he is. We are never apart from God. We're never alone. Sometimes it may feel like he's not there. But he is. The person who fears the Lord, his heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he sees the desire upon his enemies. He knows that his enemies will lose because they face God. And the one who fears the Lord is enabled to win. In fact, the one who fears God is able to love his enemies. That's easy to read. I remember that struggle very clear, to love an enemy. To love a person who tried to destroy my reputation. And it was hard to love that man and forgive that man. It did come, folks. And the person who fears the Lord can deal with that. The fear of the Lord benefits the person who fears the Lord. But it also benefits his family. In verse 2, you may have noticed I skipped it. His offspring will be mighty in the land. Kids, if you think that your mom and dad fear the Lord, you better listen to this. If they don't fear the Lord, you better listen to this and help them. His offspring, his children, will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. The family of a person A parent who fears the Lord will be benefited. They will have the witness of a godly person. They will have someone modeling what it is to fear God and to live right before God. And that will bring a blessing upon the home that otherwise would not be present. In Psalm 103, verse 17, the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. I was very blessed to live in a home of a mom and dad who feared the Lord. And what they believed and taught, they lived. Now, I'll be honest, kids that are listening, I didn't always feel blessed because their fear of God caused them to be obedient to the Word of God, and there were things that were bothering me because I didn't want to live according to the Word of God in some ways. That did not stop them from seeking to teach me how to live. I won't speak for my siblings. They may not have had the same issues I did. I did not want to do some of the things that I was expected to do. I did not want to be some of the things that they wanted me to be. But before long, and not living much life, but the longer I lived, the more I realized I needed to know what they taught me. I needed to practice what they said. And looking back, I would not trade that for anything. I was blessed to be raised in that home, if nothing else, to be taught the things that I was taught about God and His Word. Sometimes Sundays we went to church more times than we went home, it seemed like. But I learned about the Lord God. And it says that the family of those will be blessed. They will grow and be strong in Him. The family will receive the good teaching of the Word of God. They will benefit from having parents who protect them and care for them in the area of teaching and spiritual things and things that evil is taught. Benefit of God's care over that home because they are there. We never had wealth. We never had riches. That's Old Testament covenant in my understanding. But we did have what we needed. We never went without. In fact, what did the psalmist say in Psalm 23? The Lord shepherds me. I shall not want or lack. And that was us. We had all we needed. His main blessing, the person who fears the Lord, is spiritual development, spiritual wealth, spiritual riches, spiritual growth, the relationship that he has with God, and it impacts his family. And his righteousness endures forever. The godly person who fears the Lord, his righteousness will last. It'll take him through everything that he will face or she will face. It will hold them steady and secure in the midst of all of the things that the world throws at them. And they will be stronger for it. They will enjoy God's blessing through the righteousness of God. God honors godly people in their homes. The person who fears the Lord will bless their family. And lastly, the last two verses, 9 and 10, the benefits that come from the person who fears the Lord, it will bless the community around them. Think about it. It says, he has distributed freely. He helps those in need. He helps and cares for those who struggle. He is generous and kind to help. It shows his love for God and his love for people. He gives freely just as God gives him freely. It says he has given to the poor. It's easy to get comfortable in our nice homes and in other things and not see the need of others. And yet the person who fears the Lord, it says, has given to the poor. They see the need of others. They want to help them and care for them. And they enjoy God's generosity. And they are generous. They're not cheap and stingy. His righteousness endures forever. The one who fears the Lord knows that what he has in Christ is eternal. And he wants others to know about that. He can store up treasure in heaven. He can bring them to the place where they know that they can have a relationship with God. In fact, that person looks at the world through, I guess, what I would call the lens of mercy and grace. He deals with people graciously. His horn is exalted in honor, and the horn is a symbol of strength. In the community, others see his strength, that when things seem to be falling apart, he can remain steady. When there are struggles in the community, he is strong regardless because his strength is in Christ. It's not his own. And so he impacts his community. They know that regardless of what's happening, he seems to be steady. She can walk clearly. But what a contrast. In verse 10, the wicked man, the one who does not fear the Lord, the one who does not follow God, the one who does not know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, that person gets angry at someone who is always stable and steady. Gets angry that that religious person is blessed. And often takes it out on the follower of God. They are grieved and angry about God's blessing. But the one who fears the Lord continues to walk the same. It says the wicked not only sees it and gets angry, gnashes his teeth and melts away. I'm not sure I understand all of that, except that in my understanding, it would simply mean he dies without hope. Does that grip your heart? That person who treated you so, who does not know the Lord, dies without hope. Folks, there are people around us who are dying without hope, and they're afraid to die. COVID has them on the wall. They're afraid. They have no hope. They know one day they will die. And maybe you're listening online right now, and you don't have any hope. You know one day you will die from something. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. That's a fact. And you know you will die, but you don't have any hope. The only hope I can offer is in Christ Jesus the Lord. He came to planet Earth, took on flesh, a human body, and he died in your place. He gave his life to pay for your sin debt. He gave everything that you might have eternal life, forgiveness of sin. But you must believe. You must accept his payment as yours. You must invite him into your life. And whether it's online or right here in this building, and you don't know for sure that you are ready to meet Jesus Christ, now is your time. The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now, not tomorrow. Today you have. Tomorrow you may not have. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him into your heart and your life. Receive his payment as your payment. And he will forgive you. We benefit when we fear the Lord. Our children benefit when we fear the Lord and live it. Our community benefits by those who fear the Lord. Does it show in us to those around us? Oh, I trust it does. I trust that we are able to show others that we have this marvelous and wonderful relationship with God through Christ Jesus. And he enables us to know that when we die, we will be with him. And then in the meantime, we are blessed by him. And our life can bless others. I'm going to pray, and then I trust you picked up your cup for communion and that you have it, and then we will go into our communion time. But let me pray first, and then we will look at that. Father in heaven, you have spoken. This is your word. Help us to get a greater grasp on what it is to walk in the fear of the Lord, to live well before others, and to be an instrument of godliness in this world, that we might encourage others. And Lord God, I pray if there's anyone present right here in this building or anyone that's watching online and knows that they don't have any hope after life, and they know that they need Jesus. They need a Savior. They need forgiveness of sin. Lord, I pray that right now you'll zero in on their heart and on their life, and enable them to know they need you, and enable them to know they need to ask you to come into their life, to forgive their sin, and to set them free from its control, and give them the promise of life with you after. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for answering prayer. We give you our praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.